in that game. And man, when I left out of that room, I went home and prayed and asked God to let me grow so I could be like Magic. He didn't give me the growing part. But I mean, I wanted to, man, when I left out of his house, I'm like, my whole outlook on playing basketball was different.
Right.
And you remember growing up, you had great players, but ain't nobody ever seen nobody 6'9" that could do that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right, man. And I remember this, man. I know we're not, well, all of this is part of the game, right? But I remember, was that his rookie year when Kareem got hurt and he played?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And he played center?
Yeah, he played all five positions.
All five positions, man. So, man, I had Magic at number one.
I mean, I said Marcus Haynes because, William, you would have, I mean, I'm sure you probably saw how hell, he was 70 by the time I was 10. But, man, they showed films of him and Curly Neal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Curly Neal went to Winston-Salem and said, anyway, man, this dude's hand, I mean, they said he is the greatest ball handler to ever live.
That's amazing.
And that's why I give him that respect. They said he is the greatest ball handler to ever live.
That is absolutely amazing.
And they said he could have played in the NBA, but he was so indebted to staying with the Globetrotters, because you got to remember something. And it's funny, but it's the truth. For one time, the Globetrotters was the most popular team in the world.
Yes, man, they were.
I saw them. I saw them right here in Richmond.
Okay. I mean, they were the most popular team in the world, and there was a lot of people that think they would have beat a lot of NBA teams.
That's right.
And people tend to forget, for his first year or two of playing professional ball,
Will Chamberlain
played with the Globetrotters.
Sure did. I was going to bring that up, man. Definitely. There's no question about it. Now, I remember Marcus, man.
So it was one of those things where coming out of college, a lot of these guys had a choice to make. They were African-American.
Right.
Do you want to go play for the Globetrotters, or you want to try to play in the NBA? It was really a serious they really had a serious dilemma on what they – because a lot of these guys – back then, and I heard they paid well at that time.
I was going to ask you about that, because I believe they made more than most NBA players back then.
Wilt Chamberlain came out in like 1956, 57, whatever. Hey, man, with his rookie year, hey, he was making like $300,000. Now, it might not sound like a lot now, but you go back to 1957, 58. He was making some phenomenal money.
It was, right. Wasn't he the first million-dollar basketball player?
Hypothetically, yes and no.
Okay.
Because the first NBA player to ever get a contract where he was making $1 million a year, I believe, was David Thompson.
I remember David Thompson, NC State?
Skywalker, yeah. But the ABA Denver Nuggets signed him too. They called him, he had like a $6 million deal. They called him $6 million man. But Wilt Chamberlain, for all the money, back then they paid you under the table, you know, paid you a certain amount under the table.
Right.
Trust me, his net worth was unbelievable. The house, you know, it's weird because I just read an article about him.
Retractable roof.
It had to be yesterday. And they said he was 43 years old, and Magic used to invite guys to play up at UCLA during the summer. So they were playing, and Magic was probably making some bad calls and calling ticky-tack fouls, whatever. And I can't remember the coach, but they said, Wilt Chamberlain said, no, we're going to play one more game. They said this dude threw everything out of there that came down. I mean, this coach said he put on I put it to you like this. He said at the end of the game, Magic just got his ball and walked out.
I took his ball and went home.
Yeah.
Man, Wilt Chamberlain, he was incredible. Now, he only had, how many rings did he have? One or two?
He had two.
Okay. He got one. Was he with the 76ers before he went to the Lakers?
Yeah. He was with the 76ers. And again, you know what? Because I want Mill to get in here. Again, back then, the one advantage that I know you big time Bill Russell. But here's one advantage I keep saying. Back then, they had territorial drafts. So Boston was getting the best players. I mean, I hate to say that, but I don't know how that territorial stuff went, but it seemed like they got them all. I mean, when you can play on a team, think of this, with 12 men, but 18 of them got their number retired in the rafters, you ain't supposed to be losing.
Well, you're right about that. Oh, man. And let's go over that, the roster a little bit. Some of those players that came out of Boston. Okay. Help me out, Mark.
You had Bob Cousy. You had Sam Jones, KC Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You had Sash Sanders, who's all these dudes is in the Hall of Fame. You had John Havlicek.
Six man. Look here, and Havlicek used to come off the bench.
Yeah, he played when he went to school with my mom. You had, who else did they have on that team? They had Don Nelson.
Uh-huh.
Played on that team.
Yeah.
They had this thing, they had a list of all the players they had. Bailey Howell, but that's, I don't even know who he was, but his number retired.
Mm-hmm.
They had all these dudes, and I mean, remember JoJo White? I mean, they had
JoJo everybody. White?
I mean, they had everybody. So, I mean, I ain't trying to be funny, but I'm like, hell, they ain't supposed to lose. Well, like I said, when you got a roster, you're only supposed to have 12 men, and 18 of them is hanging in the rafters. I mean, this is before Bird or any of their numbers was ever retired.
Right.
You got to think of how deep this, I mean, there was not a bad person. First of all, Red Auerbach wasn't going to have anybody on the team just to have it. You remember John Thompson played with him?
I don't remember him playing, but yeah, I know he did, right? I don't remember him playing.
He played for the Boston Celtics.
Right.
I mean, this team's deep. I mean, there wasn't no NBA draft night. It was territorial draft. And so, I mean, trust me, I don't know how they cut that territory up, but Boston got them all.
Right.
I mean, so guys like Walt Bellamy, Bob Pettit, they didn't have a chance. And so when you come along, and this is why I say it is still a team game, and I think they're not fair to Wilt Chamberlain. As great as Wilt Chamberlain was, can't one man beat a whole team?
Well, that's true. That's true.
Because I want to ask you a question. They talk about Wilt would lose in the finals to Bill Russell, but let me ask you a question. Name one person that played along with Wilt on those Sixers teams.
It's hard for me to come with somebody.
I mean, I'm being serious. Name one.
Thinking, Mark. I'm seriously thinking, and I'm trying to remember.
Only people that I can remember of substance was Hal Greer.
Uh huh.
And Luke Jackson.
Okay. You know, hey, look here. You named two more than I could remember because you're right. You're definitely right about that. But the thing about it is, see, a lot of people, we're talking about Bill Russell. When he first started playing, Bill Russell used to handle that ball and run up and floor, up and down that floor like a deer.
Well, they invented the fast break. That's in my opinion.
Look.
He'd get that ball. He was the best outlet passer you'd ever want to see. He'd get the rebound. It goes to Bob Cousy. Boom, it's gone.
It's gone. There's no question about it. And I still have to say this, Mark, and I'm sure you saw it, when I've never seen – Bill Russell is the only person that I've seen block –
Here we go again.
Yep, that's right. That.
Same old, just a different day.
Mark.
Here we go again. Okay.
Well, didn't he? The only one that blocked Chamberlain's dunk, and I saw him do it twice. And one time, they had the game was delayed. How long was that game delayed? Because they had to bring in a new backboard.
Well, I'll be honest with you. He blocked it. Now, see, this is the part. If you look at their matchups, and if you look at the numbers, their individual numbers, a lot of times Chamberlain dominated him.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
But it was everybody else around him. It was everybody else around him that didn't do nothing.
Well, see, why they call it a team game. Bill Russell did so much.
That's what I'm saying when people say that. Chamberlain couldn't beat them by himself, and
They pretty much eviscerated the 60s.
Right. But, well, I still don't think it's fair to say, Wilt Chamberlain, he dominated everybody as far as numbers are concerned. But him against Bill Russell, I don't think it's kind of fair because you look at everything else Bill Russell did on the court, he was like the coach on the floor. And that's why he ended up being player coach. But, and you can't deny those 11 rings. I understand that the team was loaded. I understand that. But still, Bill Russell to me handled Wilt Chamberlain better than anybody. And Bill Russell was only 6'9".
But this is what everybody tend to forget.
Yeah, he had a wingspan.
Outside of Magic, I think he was the best team player I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I only got to see highlights of Bill Russell.
I didn't miss him. I did not miss him, boy. I was a Celtics fan then. Oh, there's no question about it.
Red Auerbach, I guess he had a habit, Russell did, of throwing up before the game. This is nerve.
That's what I heard.
And they said, Red Auerbach would go in there and tell him, don't come out of that locker room until you throw up.
Yep, that's the story. And I tell you, Red was a trip too, dude. And you could tell when he knew he had won the game, he would light up a cigar right there on the sideline. Right, Mark? He'd light up a cigar right there in the arena.
Oh, yeah. That was his trademark, that cigar.
That cigar. There's no question about it.
He's going to light it right there.
Like Mill said.
Sit that right on the bench and light it up.
Mill said, here we go again. I had to laugh about that one. But, hey.
It's true.
Hey, but I tell you what. When it comes to that dude. William, you've been put to my little garage, cave, whatever you want to call it, but I got a picture of the Boston Celtics in there, and I had to, because, hey man, that run that dude had, I don't know, I tell you, that's where I get irritated with this Jordan stuff, because until he can fill up both hands,
mm-hmm.
to me, the GOAT has got to be Bill Russell.
Yep.
This dude got 12 rings.
Look, I'm telling you right now.
Okay, so
yeah, Mill don't want to hear it.
Yes, I do, because Phil Jackson has 12 rings.
Yeah, but you can't put that.
No, I put it to you like this.
That's blasphemy.
Player, yes, I give it to Jordan. I give it to Mike. But in my opinion, the best winner that's ever played in the NBA is Bill Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you got 12 rings. Somebody come show me.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, Mike might be the greatest player to have ever played that game. And I ain't going to lie to you, I have a problem with that sometimes because I look at Magic, I look at Kareem, and I look at Wilt Chamberlain. And I'm like, as great as Mike was, even though they played different positions, whatever, I don't know what he would have done with Magic at his peak.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that, they played two different. Hey man, he'd have had to. Mike stayed in great shape, but he'd have had to work. And then I look at a guy like Chamberlain. There's nothing he could have done with him.
Mm-hmm.
I look at a guy like Bill Russell, and he said the most important. He said the one thing because they was asking him and Wilt Chamberlain, how would you have guarded Shaq? Wilt said, I'm going to step aside because I want to hear this man say this. I'll never forget that interview.
Uh-huh.
Bill Russell said, I'd have went right at him. He said, he'd have had to work.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what would have happened. Not tell anybody. That matchup, at their best, one night,
mm-hmm.
Bill Russell wears him out.
I think so, too. And phenomenal rebounder. Phenomenal.
He'll need an oxygen tank by halftime.
Absolutely.
Because the way this dude ran the floor, the way he rebounded with the intensity, I can take a break off this play stuff. I mean, the way he attacked you.
Now, see me, the matchup, I would have said, how would Bill Russell go against Kareem? Because Kareem has the most unstoppable move in NBA history.
But let me ask you a question. I agree with you, Mill, 100%, but here would have been the problem. I think I'd have used the reverse. How would Bill Russell have matched up? How would Kareem have matched up with Bill Russell?
Mm-hmm.
Because Kareem had a tendency. You notice, he gets the rebound, give it to Magic. Kareem didn't have to run down the floor a lot of times when that fast break came.
Right.
He dealing with Bill Russell, he'd had to run up and down the floor. He's another one that probably would have needed an oxygen mask.
Yeah.
Now I do see Kareem taking a few offensive plays off. He has had a tendency to hang court.
Right, right.
Now, and so see, with Bill Russell, he's just, I guess the best way to put it, he's like one of them boxers where, damn, I can't take a round off, even though I know I can beat this dude. He's going to make me work.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Bill Russell did, too.
He would have made him work. But see, sometimes we don't give the due diligence to how phenomenal in reality Bill Russell was, because he wasn't a 30-point-a-game dude. But when you average 19 and 21 a game, I mean, damn, you can't ask for much more.
That's right.
And not counting the blocks. But you had other centers, I think, in that era that people tend to forget about. I mean, you had Nate Thurman, who was one of the most formidable defensive stoppers you'd ever want to see play the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had Walt Bellamy. You had Willis Reed. I mean, you had Bob Pettit. People don't realize how good that cat was.
Right.
You know, coming into the 70s, there was a guy that used to give Kareem problems. He was only 6'9", Clifford Ray.
I remember him.
My dad was a big fan of him, and one of the big thrills of my life, I got to meet him down at the Long Beach Pier. I said, man, my dad was, he was a fan of yours. You had guys like Clifford Ray. Can you remember growing up, William, coming in the 70s, I was a little boy, but I used to watch games used to come on every Sunday where I grew up at. You didn't get them. You didn't have this NBA League Pass stuff.
Right.
But you had players, you had centers. Every team, that was the focal point of your team was a center.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and Nate Thurman was one of my favorites.
You had guys like Sam Lacy, Artis Gilmore, Dan Issel. I mean, every team had centers. Moses Malone, he used to wear Kareem out too.
Oh, man.
So see, that's why I'm saying, Mill, those type of dudes like that, that's where I think when you say Russell and Kareem, that's why I say, I think Kareem, he would have scored, but he would have had to work, because see, a guy like Moses used to give Kareem problems, because believe it or not, Bill Russell was physical. And so Kareem didn't like that physicality stuff. He was finesse. Mm-hmm. Nothing against him, captain, my all-time favorite center, but his game was finesse.
Mm-hmm.
So you had dudes like that, Bob Lanier. These dudes were physical specimens.
Man, look, Bob Lanier, man, that dude was, he was a huge guy, man. And I tell you something else. Moses Malone was the first person I met that was 6'9". They say he was 6'9". He looked taller. I met him in
first year. He was the first one out of high school, too, right?
Yeah, right out of high school. Well, he was supposed to be going to Maryland, and his uncle screwed that whole deal up. You know, he was out of Petersburg, right? And
yeah, he went to Petersburg High School.
And yep, he had to go, because he was going to college. He was going to the University of Maryland, right? And then his uncle, decided he won't be his agent and screwed everything up, man. It became a big, big scandal. So he couldn't go to college after that. Him and, what's that dude? Lefty Driesell was the coach in Maryland, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, and they had some back door or some backroom deal going on, right? The uncle got involved, screwed the whole thing up. Now, his uncle had the education of a peanut, all right? And I don't know too much about the guy, but I did hear about, he wasn't the most educated guy in the world. Maybe. And he was in it to get some money. He saw that his nephew was a meal ticket, right? So he wanted to strike a deal with the University of Maryland to do something, and the guy just got all out of hand. And so that's when Moses went directly. I believe he went to the Houston Rockets.
No, the way it works for him, he actually went to the Utah Stars at the ABA.
I didn't remember that.
And then he played for the Spirit of St. Louis, ABA. The only reason why I know that, William, I'm home in California for the weekend, and I'm in my man cave, and I got his jersey right here.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I'm going to put it on the film so you can see it. I'm going to get it. But part of the problem was, too, I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I love Moses, but he wasn't an A student himself.
No, he wasn't. Matter of fact, he was a horrible student.
And so, I mean, you could tell by the way he used to talk that he didn't go to English class much.
No.
Man, he's just a phenomenal. Let me pull this jersey out. I don't want to put it on here so y'all can see it.
Yeah, go and get it. But I tell you what, no, he wasn't a good student. He wasn't a good student at all, and that's giving him a break on that, right? But I tell you what, he could count money. I'm gonna tell you, I met him, and I'm gonna tell you where I met him. I met him at Hoffhammer Shoe Store.
Here it is.
Okay.
St. Louis Spirit.
Okay. I met Moses Malone at Hoffhammer Shoe Store, and he, you know, he didn't say a lot either. And this cat, I saw this huge dude come into the store. Looked like he had to bend his head to get in, right? You know, those doors were tall anyway. But anyway, he came in and we were having a shoe sale. Men and women shoe sale, right? And I remember this cat, and he had this tiny little girlfriend. She couldn't have been no more than about 5'2". And can you imagine that? And so they come in and she's looking for shoes. He bought her one pair. Now he had just signed a contract with Houston, I believe. He had just signed a big contract with Houston. Because after he left the ABA, Mark, didn't he go to, he went to Houston or Rockets, right?
Yeah, he went to the Rockets.
He went to Rockets and he signed a huge contract. And he bought his girlfriend one pair of shoes. All right. That were on sale. And it was $17. Now this guy just says, this guy just signed this multi-million dollar contract and he buys this girl one pair of shoes, $17. And do you know, he went in his pocket and pulled out cash. And do you know, he counted that $17 about three times because he didn't want no bills sticking together. This is a fact. This is a fact. Hey, Mark, this is a fact. This tooth was tight. But now I'm going to tell you something. Then, he grew up in a shack down there in Petersburg, Virginia. And I think he bought his mom a new house, but he also bought her a car. And the first car he bought her was a Chrysler. She wrecked it. He bought her another Chrysler. She wrecked that one. Until she really learned how to drive, then after she learned how to drive fairly well, then he bought her a Cadillac. Alright? Now, and also, if you go into history of him, also, do you know Moses Malone owned a whole bunch of property?
I can believe that.
He bought a lot of property. So he may not have been smart in school, but he was smart enough to preserve his money. He saved his money, and he invested into real estate.
He was smart into the fact that he said, I ain't going back to where I used to be. I know that much.
Yeah, he started doing business with family. That's what happened.
No, I'm telling you. No, this dude got property. He's got several properties.
Well, he's probably got property in Virginia because he passed away in Virginia, didn't he?
I know he was from, he was born in Petersburg, Virginia. I'm sure he has properties here. I'm gonna do some research on that too. Cause he has several properties, man. They talked about how this guy, he invested into real estate. And so like he didn't blow his money. There are no accusations of him being on drugs or alcohol or anything
He never did that.
Yeah, he was living in Norfolk when he passed away.
He was in Norfolk. Okay.
He was actually there for a golf tournament.
Okay.
And he didn't show up. They got worried and he was found in his hotel room.
Oh boy.
He had a heart condition. I don't know if he knew or.
Yeah. Well, how many years did he have that? He was a rebound champion there, for many years too. Rebound champion. We lost Mark again. But he was a rebound champion, dude. He was a great ball player.
Average 20.6 points per game, 12.2 rebounds a game, 1.3 blocks per game.
Oh, look, I'll take that any day. Any day of your center. Averaging 20 points, 12 rebounds, 4 blocks a game, Mark, I'll take that any day. I would take that any day.
Any day of the week.
Absolutely.
So, I got a couple more lists I want to run through if y'all cool with that.
Hey Mark, do we lose your audio again? Okay.
All right.
Maybe he's there.
All right, so
hello?
Hey yeah. Mark.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay.
All right.
All right, I got a couple more lists that we're going to run through. We got 15 more minutes. So,
okay.
I want to switch gears to the NFL. So I got my top 10 head coaches, my top 10 wide receivers,
okay,
and my top 10 lockdown corners.
Okay, you got time for one of them.
Yeah. So which one y'all want me to go through?
Wide receivers.
You want to go with top 10 wideouts?
Top 10 wideouts. How about that, Mark? Yeah.
Good with that. I'm good with that.
All right, me too.
All right, these are top 10 wideouts today, not of all time. The top 10 wide receivers that I got heading into this season. Now, this is subject to change. I get that. There's going to be some fellas ruffle. But I'm going to start off with number 10. And number 10, got to go to your old team, Dad, Seattle. I really do like Tyler Lockett.
Okay.
Some people would say put DK Metcalf in there. That's why I'm ruffling some fellas. I do like Tyler Lockett, but I'm putting DK Metcalf right there. Both of those, 10-10-A. Both of them are breakout stars. Both of them are clutch. Tyler Lockett, I like him working the sidelines. Now, DK Metcalf, you know, he great hands, speed. I mean, the best physical specimen at the wide receiver position we have seen since Megatron. We get all that, but yeah, I like Tyler Lockett. So you can put DK Metcalf right there. But number 9,
mm-hmm.
To your old team, to a team that I just don't respect, and that's Washington Commanders. But Terry McLaurin is that dude. Phenomenal wide receiver, should make Carson Wentz look halfway decent, but that's another story for another time. But Terry McLaurin, I got him at number 9. Number 8, I got Keenan Allen for the Chargers. I'm expecting a good season from him also. He always puts up great numbers. Solid receiver, good routes, good hands. Always can count on him in fantasy league. Number 7, you got to talk about that dude. All these teams that I really don't care much for right now. So I'm going to Arizona, I got to put DeAndre Hopkins at number 7.
Mm.
Now, had DeAndre Hopkins played more games, then I probably would have bumped him up. But in some off the field issues this season coming up, injuries last season, didn't see enough of him. But can't deny the man's hands, can't deny this man's route running. He's good enough. He could be my number 1. But this last season and he's serving a 6-game suspension coming up, I gotta keep him at number 7. Number 6, I'm going to Buffalo. Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
Stephon Diggs and Buffalo, him and Josh Allen, deadly combination. They're putting some points on the board. Like I said, hands, route running, power, speed. I like Diggs. Y'all like him too. Number 5, I got Tyreek Hill. Formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now he's with the Miami Dolphins.
Uh-oh.
And we're going to see how good he's going to make Tua Tagovailoa. I don't think it's going to be that much. According to Tyreek Hill, Tua is the most accurate quarterback in the league. So he has set the bar high for them. He's put a target on his back. He's hard to catch, but we're going to see how good he is in Miami. Number 4, John Madden had Devontae Adams as the best wide receiver in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stirring the pot. I'm ruffling some fellas. I got him at number 4. Him going to Oakland, going to tag him.
We're
going to
find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out. Him and his best friend, Derek Carr, they should have a connection already. They should be a formidable tandem. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Number 3, we'll see about Justin Jefferson.
Mm.
Justin Jefferson felt snubbed. He felt like he was the best on wide receiver in the league this year. Now, don't get me wrong. Dude's a beast. Straight up beast. And Philadelphia, Howie Roseman is kicking themselves for picking Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. Now, yeah, I can say that. Howie Roseman, we ain't letting that go, bro. You dropped the ball on that one. Because Justin Jefferson is a baller. He is wide receiver 1. He is the one. And according to him, he's going to be the best wide receiver in the league come back next year. But these two dudes, the season they had, you can't deny them.
Right, 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 right.
Number 2, I know it's kind of early, but fell in love with him, man. Jamar Chase.
Okay.
The man can give you 200 yards a game. He is that electric. I mean, he made the Cincinnati Bengals, right? We're talking about the Bengals in a good light because of this man. I know we got Joe Burrow doing the same, he's doing the thing at the quarterback spot. They upgraded their offensive line. You still got Joe Mason handing the ball off. You still got Tyler Higbee on the other side. And, you know, you got weapons. But Jamar Chase was that dude. And he gave 200 in the sleep. 200 game in the sleep.
Mm.
And so I got him at number two. And number one.
Oh, I got to hear this one.
Y'all know I love wrestling. It's the SummerSlam is kicking off right now. And I can't wait to get to that. But like I said, always, since we bringing up old stuff, since Dad wants to talk about Bill Russell and him breaking the backboard on Wilt Chamberlain and all that stuff, I'm going to bring up some old stuff too. I always said, I quote Ric Flair, to be the man, woo, you got to beat the man.
All right.
And last time I checked, Cooper Kupp was the best wide receiver in the league. Triple crown champion, yards after catch. Touchdowns. He led all statistical categories at the wide receiver spot. So until somebody does something about that, Cooper Kupp is not my number one receiver. That's my top 10.
I can't argue with that.
I ain't going to argue with that at all. Hey, Mill, I'm just laughing at you because I'm going through my pay-per-view trying to find this fight. Somehow they got WrestleMania 10 on here with Razor Ramon fighting Shawn Michaels, a ladder
match. Oh, my God. That was one of the greatest matches ever.
And I didn't get caught up watching this. I'm supposed to be trying to find something
out. Well, we could just regularly understand that. Hey, Mark, you want your top 10 first or mine?
Go ahead, do yours.
Okay.
I didn't get caught up in
that. All right, okay. I hope that this isn't disrespectful, but it wasn't even on Mills' list at all. Number 10, I got Julio Jones. All right?
See, Julio's been hurt too much.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. All right.
I'm going to let you finish.
Go ahead.
I am so excited to see him in Tampa Bay. Oh. I cannot wait to see them now that dealing with the injury. Ryan Jensen, right. Maybe they're starting to know Ryan Jensen got hurt in training camp a couple of days ago. Right. MRI is going to, he's going to miss a few months. Tristan Wirfs coming off that injury, but you got Tom Brady back there with that offensive line, with that, and all Leonard Fournette's got to do is lose 20 pounds. Now I'd be satisfied, but we're going to talk about that a little bit at another time.
Right.
Mike Evans.
You left him off and he's on my list.
Yeah, I know. I said I was going to get disrespect. You got Mike Evans. You got Chris Godwin going to come back eventually. And then you going to add Julio Jones with what Tom can do?
Right.
I'm excited about the Bucks. Y'all.
Now, I don't remember. I think you left off, correct me if I'm wrong, Amari Cooper.
I sure enough did.
I got him at number 9. Deebo Samuel at number 8. All right. Mm-hmm. Michael Chalmers at number 7. Robert Woods at number 6. Woo, 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 woo. No, I can't get this guy on because he's a head case.
You better not say Antonio Brown.
That's why he's not on my list anymore.
I mean, he ain't even playing.
Okay. Wait a minute. Number 6, Mike Evans. Okay. All right. Number 5, DeAndre Hopkins. Number 3, Tyreek Hill. Oh my God. This is going to upset some people. Where am I? Number 3 or number 3?
Yeah, he had Tyreek. I think he had Tyreek in number 3.
All right. This is going to upset a whole bunch of folks. I'm going to have to leave somebody off. Okay. No, I'm going to leave him off because he got hurt in the Super Bowl, but he, man, this cat.
Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
See, I couldn't leave Odell Beckham. He had a couple of bad seasons.
Yeah, that's why I'm not going to put him up there. So
Talent is there, but he had a couple of bad seasons. I got to see him come bounce back.
Okay.
Because you saw what he did in the Super Bowl.
Okay. I did say DeAndre Hopkins, or did I?
Yeah, you said D-Hop.
Okay. Now, where am I? Number 3?
Yeah.
Ah, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
You're number 2.
Oh, number 2? You sure?
Tyreek Hill was number 3.
Damn, I got to leave somebody off because I got Devontae Adams at number 2. I got to change that. And I got to go along with Cooper Kupp, number 1.
Yeah, okay. So who you leaving out? You don't have Jamar Chase on your list.
No, I don't. I should have had him on there. Oh, man, I got to drop somebody. Did I say Michael Thomas?
Yeah, you said
Michael Thomas. I got to drop Michael Thomas then.
Now, see, I'd have had Michael Thomas on my list, but see, the thing about Michael Thomas is he missed all of last season. He missed all of last season.
Okay, well, that makes room for him then. And like I said, if Odell Beckham had played the entire Super Bowl, I would have to include him on that because that dude showed off the first quarter. And then I think he got hurt in the first quarter, didn't he?
Yeah, he was on his way. He was on his way to having 150 and maybe 2 tubs by halftime.
Man, he was showing off, dude, man. And when he got hurt, I said, no. I've always been an Odell Beckham Jr. fan, you know. And when he was with the Giants, right?
Yeah.
I thought he got a raw deal there. Because I did think that that other a brother quarterback. I think he was overrated anyway.
Oh, Eli?
Eli. Yeah. Eli's coming. Eli's gone, ain't he? I hope so. But anyway.
No, but, hey, but William, one thing about it, though, old Eli got 2 rings.
Yeah, he does have 2 rings.
He did what he had to do when he had to do it.
And he didn't throw the prettiest ball either, you know. But you got to give his offensive line some credit.
Now, give his offensive line and defensive line credit. I mean, he had a Hall of Fame defensive line almost. He had Jason Pierre-Paul, Michael Strahan.
Yeah, and Jason Pierre-Paul oh my God, he blew his hand up with a firecracker. God.
Yeah, you had Jason Pierre-Paul with 5 fingers. Man. Yeah, that defense was a squad to be reckoned with.
Yeah, that is true. Okay, Mark, we got time for yours.
Mine is going to be top 10. Oh, okay. Top 10 for me, Mike Evans, number 10. That dude seems to always score. I mean, always score. So I got him at number 10. Believe it or not, I got the dude on the other side of the ball from him, another number 9, at Chris Godwin.
I'm not surprised. You know, look, I'm sorry, Mark. I gotta tell the story now. But you know, last season when we were doing the fantasy league, you know, Mark had all the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on his. He had every last receiver. He had Godwin. He had Edwards, and he had Antonio Brown on his team.
Antonio Brown, where's he gonna land this year? Is he playing?
No, he is not playing. Can we stop talking about him?
Okay, that's fine with me.
I just put him up there just for that. I mean, just for that caveat right there.
Okay, all right. All right. That's good enough. Okay.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah. At number 8, I'm only doing this because of the quarterback he's got, but I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill.
I left him off, and I'm sorry about that, too.
No, you had Tyreek Hill, number 3.
Oh, okay.
All number right. 7. Number 7, I'm going to go with DK Metcalf. Number 6. And I'm only, and trust me, he'd be higher for me, but he's gone half the year, is DeAndre Hopkins. That dude catches everything. I'm going to say at number 5, I'm going to go with, it's tough.
It's getting tougher, isn't it?
You know, I want to go with AJ Brown because man, that dude's a specimen. Number 4, I'll go with Stephon Diggs. 3, I'm going to go with Jordan Jefferson. 2, I'm going to go with Ja'Marr Chase. Until somebody take it away with him, I'll have to go with number 1 is Cooper Kupp.
Yep. You know this top 10, and we had a few differences, you know, on our list. That tells you how many bad receivers there are out there. There's some bad boys out there, man.
I like what you said about AJ Brown. And see, the thing about AJ Brown is we talk about my Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm trying to be as unbiased as possible. Now, AJ Brown, yes, physical specimen, got everything you want in a big body receiver. My problem is with AJ Brown is Jalen Hurts. Now, I'm an Eagles fan. I'm going to ride with Jalen Hurts till the wheels fall off. However, my concern is Jalen Hurts' throwing ability. Can he make the right throw at the right time? He can make all the throws, but he don't make all the right throws at the right time.
Right.
If he this is his last year. This is his last chance. I'm telling you, I agree. I agree.
It's make or break. He got to sling that rock.
Hey, you're right about something. I don't mean to cut you. You're 100% correct about one thing. I'll say real quick. See, I didn't think about that with A.J. Brown. It ain't A.J. Brown. It's the dude. That's why I did that with Tyreek Hill. Correct. If he was still in Kansas City, he'd be up that list. But, man, I don't trust Tua. You know, Michael Thomas, I should have put him on there because he was phenomenal a year before last.
Yes.
Keenan Allen, too.
Yeah, see, I got on Tyreek Hill at 5 and Keenan Allen at 8. Now, I could easily swap those two because I love Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert is that dude that he has some of the best arm talent in the league today. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert is that good throwing the ball. And I got that much concern for Tua and Jalen Hurts. So I could easily move Tyreek Hill back and move Keenan Allen up for that particular reason.
But you know what? But Tyreek, man, I mean, this dude is explosive, dude. I mean, he's just a talent. And so now he's with Miami now?
Yes.
Wow. The Dolphins, they might do a little something. Who's going to win that division?
In your opinion? Buffalo.
Oh, boy.
Nah, they just got Von Miller.
Woo! What you say, Mark?
You know what? They don't – I guess I was thinking this should be the year. I've been saying it since he came out. I think outside of Mahomes, I think Josh Allen is the most talented player in the league. You know, I left out Javonte Adams. I don't know how I did that.
I think but, I had him on my list, didn't I?
Yeah, you had him. But you had him on your list. I had him on my list.
I didn't mean to do that because I can move some people down because he is in top three. I just wonder if Carr is going to do the same thing for him that again, now he moves to a different quarterback because he's going to be the same receiver. Because Aaron Rodgers, when you're playing with the best, realistically, the best quarterback in football, you better look good. I don't know how he's going to be with Derek Carr. I don't know how Tyreek Hill is going to be with Tua. I don't know how Michael Thomas is going to be with Zayn.
I think I have more optimism for Davante Adams because you got think he's leaving a situation in Green Bay where you got Aaron Rodgers on the other side. I mean, you got Aaron Rodgers throwing you the ball, but who you got on the other side? Alan Lazard, Mark MVS, Marquez Valdez Scantling, Equanimeous Saint. I mean, you don't really have nobody attractive on the other side. I mean, you had you had tight end for a couple of years ago. He tore his ACL last year. I can't think of his name, but
Robert Tonyan.
Yeah, Robert Tonyan. You had him a couple of seasons ago, but that, there's nothing that's going to say that, you know, Aaron Rodgers got options. So every snap, every pass play, you already know his ball's going to Davante Adams. Now you're going to Las Vegas. You got Darren Wall. That's a beast at a tight end. You got Hunter Renfro, who's so crafty. People comparing them to Julian Edelman. Mm. I mean, crafty skills. Got hands. Not the fastest guy in the world, but knows how to get open. Man. And he's a dog. Man. So you got all these guys coming. So you got these guys. So it's not, you can't double Davante Adams all the time. You can't double him all the time. He's going to see his, he's going to get more one-on-ones in Las Vegas than he did in Green Bay.
Man, well, you know, I tell you one advantage he has, and I hope it works to his advantage. He ain't got to worry about playing in that cold.
No, he does not. He's out west. He's in that desert. He better drink some water.
Man, look. And I tell you what, and you know somebody I don't like, but you mentioned a name that played for the Giants. That's Edelman, right? That dude. He's a hard cover.
So was Hunter Renfro.
I didn't say he wasn't. But
Edelman, remember, New England was good at getting them type of cats because before you had Edelman, you had Wes Welker.
Yep. Yes, sure did. Wow. And these cats could get open, boy. I mean, you got to give them credit. And you know, at that time, I hated New England. The only person I liked was Tom Brady, right? And that's why I like Tampa this year. I don't know how far they're going to go because I don't think Tom Brady's going to play but one more year. Because he already has a huge deal offer from ESPN too, right?
Yep, 10 years.
10 years, yes, absolutely.
$370 million. He's getting paid $37 million a season.
Man, are you serious?
He's getting paid more to talk about football than he is taking that snap.
Yeah. Well, see, that's one thing about it too, man.
And he still want to take the snap.
Yeah, but he gave up so much when he was at New England, right? And I couldn't understand.
This man got CTE.
He got what?
This man got CT. There's no way I'm passing up $37 million a season. And now I got to take the punishment I got to take up to sit up there and put my hands under somebody else's behind and take the ball from me. There's no way. I am done.
No. I heard that. Oh, man. We're out of time. Mark, always great as usual, man.
Yes, sir.
All right. Still waiting for you to come on through here looking for you. We'll talk about it later because we talk about the conclave, too. So.
Yay, Mill. I ain't changed the channel off at WrestleMania yet. I didn't get caught up.
No. Enjoy, my brother. Enjoy. I got it on record. Sometime for the weekends, I don't get caught up on SummerSlam. It ain't going to happen tonight. Hey, shout out to Troop 492.
All right.
And I will see y'all at church tomorrow. See y'all in the spirit. I love y'all.
All right. And ladies and gentlemen. All right. And check out, if you like gospel music, check us out tomorrow morning, Gospel Explosion. Hey, we get this thing kicked off at 10 a.m. on the East Coast, 7 a.m. on the West. It's going to be an outstanding broadcast. At 3 p.m., there's a live sermon, coming from the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church right there in Southern California. And then at 6 p.m., you don't want to miss the Boomerang. Oh, yes, we play a part 4 of CRT, the Critical Race Theory, the Boogeyman in the Room. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to see you then. Hey, enjoy. Mill is going to throw down some music here right there. All right, let's do it. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure. I am WB, and on behalf of the host of this show, Mill Brown, hey, we bid you a good evening. This has been the Sports Page. Good night, y'all.